You see, the book of Hebrews in 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same now, yesterday, today, and forever because of Easter. So what he said, he is still saying. Those whom he sought, he is still seeking. Those whom he saved, he is still saving. And that which he did, he is still doing. But what's he doing? He's seeking and saving the lost. You ever felt lost?
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon. Today, a message Pastor Wayne gave on Easter Sunday entitled, Welcome Home. But we have a few extra minutes today, so we invite you to join the family at New Hope in a time of worship.
Lamb of God, innocent Son, sacrificed the glorious one. Oh, the Son, Jesus Christ. Abundant grace given to all. Love displayed through innocent blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. The cross, where love was found. Our hope, who never fails. The Son, in whom we're free. It is done. Oh. never fails, the Son, in whom we're free. It is done, it is done. Oh.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Welcome Home.
Well, I want to also say thank you to you. As you know, about 6 months I went through some cancer, and I can never thank you enough for praying. And there's others in our congregation, as I was going through that, texted me or emailed me and said they were going through cancer surgery as well. And so know that your prayers here aren't just something that's thrown by the wayside in heaven. It's actually something that's not an either or just a take it or leave it. It is a mandatory thing that allows heaven to move on our behalf. And our future is dependent upon prayer warriors like you. So can I ask you, never, never, never stop praying, because God answers prayer. He does. And I'm going to ask you, though, however, to keep praying for me, because there's something else that came up. I've been noticing my hair is turning whiter and whiter, and I can't stop it. We've taken an MRI, echocardiogram. I have no idea what's going on. But I did make a deal with my hair. I said, you can turn on me, but you can never leave. A friend of mine's getting older. I saw him after a while. I thought, oh, he's getting a little older. And I said, how does it feel to get old? He said, I feel like I represent the United States economy. I said, why is that? He said, well, my hairline is in recession and my belly is in inflation. I said, no, you got to think about it in a different way. Think about it in the terms of commodities. He said, what? I said, yeah, I have silver in my hair, gold in my teeth, gas in my stomach, and lead in my feet. But older people actually inspire me. There's this lady, she's 90 years old. She comes up to her pastor and she says, Pastor, the older I get, the sassier I get. And the pastor goes, what? She says, yeah, I'm dating 4 men at a time. He goes, wow, girl, what are you doing? She says, yeah, 4 men. She says, what do you mean? She says, well, I get up every morning with arthritis. And willpower helps me out of bed. I spend all day with a Charlie horse, but I go to bed at night with Ben Gay. They're inspiring. And this is a true story. Just the other day, the other week, in fact, I saw him again this morning when I was at Starbucks, but some weeks ago, an elderly gentleman, he must be 86 or so, he comes into Starbucks, and this is no exaggeration. He has a cane, and he's walking kind of like this. And 6:30 a.m., he orders coffee, sits down and reads the paper, then gets up and starts walking out at about maybe 10 till 7. And I thought, man, this guy could stay home instead of coming down here. It looks like it's obviously taking a toll on him, and it's painful to do this, and yet he comes this early. So I got up, and I walked over to him, and I said, excuse me, sir, I don't want to interrupt you, but... And he stopped and he said, yes. I said, you inspire me. He said, why? I said, you could have stayed home, but instead you come here at 6:30 a.m. to get coffee. That's amazing. He looked at me and said, well, I have a class at 7. I said, you have a class at 7 a.m.? He said, yes. I said, what class is that? He said, martial arts. I thought, no way. So I said, I shook his hand. I said, can I shake your hand? I said, by the way, what's your name? He said, my name is Quentin Chambers. I said, thank you, Mr. Quentin Chambers. My name's Wayne Cordero. Have a great day. And so he went out, and straight away, I went to my car and Googled his name. Quentin Chambers. Come to find out, he is one of the highest ranking black belts in Hawaii in stick fighting. I was so glad I was nice to him. He could have gone, whap. Be dog meat, you know, it's just like amazing. And he was there again this morning. I talked to him about 6 o'clock, 6:05. So amazing man, amazing man. I have another friend that inspires me. He's 85 years old, he's a pastor friend of mine. His wife died at 82. And at 85, he meets another lady his age, 85, and they get married at 85. I said, what? He said, yeah, I got married. I thought, you go, boy. No, And I said, how long did you date her? He said, a month. I said, you don't even know her. How come it was only a month? That's pretty short. How come it was only a month? He said, I could have died. Okay. So there's a song that I learned. It goes to the tune of Side by Side. And it talks about older people getting married, not knowing each other very well. So you want me to sing it? It don't matter. I was going to sing it anyway. It goes like this. We got married last Friday. I had my girl right beside me. Now my friends are all gone, and we are alone, side by side. It gets better. We were happily wed then. She got ready for bed when her teeth and her hair, she put on a chair. Side by side. And one glass eye so tiny, her hearing aids are small. But then she took her leg off and put it on a chair in the hall. I stood there brokenhearted, cause most of my girl had departed. So I slept on the chair. There was more of her there. Side by side. We got to get to the Bible. I'm going to read from the 19th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. And we're going to read about one of my favorite stories of all time. It's a story of a man named Zacchaeus. I think it's one of my favorites because in Sunday school, they burned this song into my head. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. Climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Savior then was passing by and he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. Going to your house today. I'm going to your house today. Side by side. I changed the ending just a little bit. But the reason this story, I think, is also one of my favorites is because it's about to reveal one of the most important verses in the New Testament. And it's found at the end of this story. Follow along with me as I read it. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was passing that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possession to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man, too, is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. There you'll find one of the most important verses of all. It reveals the very purpose why Jesus Christ came to the earth. It was to seek and to save the lost. It wasn't to condemn nor to judge, though he could, and he'd be justified in doing so. His purpose was to seek and save the lost. Although he had every right to condemn us, he came to seek and save the lost. That's what the cross is all about. He came to seek and save a Mary Magdalene when she was caught up in a lifestyle that she couldn't shake herself out of. He came to seek and save a demon-possessed man that was infested with demons. He He came to seek and save a man that was riddled with leprosy and was separated from his family and his friends. He came to seek and save a lame man by the pool of Bethesda. And he came to seek and save you and me. You say, well, wait a minute. How did we get in this list of such inauspicious people? Well, we're just like them. Because the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own ways. But here's the cool thing. Because of Easter, because he won over death, and so death was not a period, but simply a comma. He changed the period into a comma. Now his earthly ministry has become his eternal ministry. So that which he did, he is still doing, because he's alive. You see, the book of Hebrews in 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same now, yesterday, today, and forever because of Easter. So what he said, he is still saying. Those whom he sought, he is still seeking. Those whom he saved, he is still saving. And that which he did, he is still doing. What's he doing? He's seeking and saving the lost. You ever felt lost? Well, it's the worst kind of lostness. Because you can be physically lost, but once you get your bearings, you're kind of back on the road again. But when you feel lost in your soul and your soul is lost, it's a whole different kind of lostness. It's very dark. When you have that kind of lostness, you've lost purpose. You don't care anymore. When your soul is lost, it's the worst kind. Because you can feel lonely even in the midst of a crowd. You are alone. It could have taken place because maybe at some point in your life, there's a stark realization that you've squandered your life thus far. And now the consequences are raining down upon you. Maybe it starts when a treasured relationship was broken, irreparably broken, and much by your fault. And you feel like a failure. You feel friendless and you feel lonely. Zacchaeus must have felt that way. Started off because he was a tax collector. Let me tell you a little bit about tax collectors in those days. They worked for the Roman government. The Roman government had Israel under occupation. So they would hire some Jewish people to work for the Roman government to take taxes from their own people. Now, the Roman government would assess X amount of dollars for each Jewish household. Let's say $5,000 for each Jewish household. The tax collector could then bump it up and then maybe record it as shipping and handling costs or whatever. And so he could assess a family $9,000 is your taxes this year. $9,000. What they don't know is that the Roman government wants $5,000. He pockets four per family. So basically he got wealthy off the backs of his own people. Worse than that, he was a chief tax collector. You know what that means? Every other tax collector in the region, he would take a cut off of them. And if you didn't pay your taxes for whatever reason, you just ran out of money, or even if it was a good reason, he could actually confiscate your house, your possessions, your donkey, your camel. He'd take it for himself. Your brand new donkey, convertible donkey. Most of them in those days were convertibles. Or your 57 camel with genuine leather upholstery. And so when they would see Zacchaeus driving your 57 camel down the streets of Jericho, that's why he was eligible annually for the most hated person award in Jericho. And all of a sudden, that stark realization hit him. And he realized all of a sudden, he had everything, but he possessed nothing. He may have achieved his bucket list, but his bucket was empty as his soul. He had no relationships and people hated him. And that stark realization started to become so acute, and he knew that his soul was lost. You see, the Bible says in the book of Mark, what profits a man if they gain the whole world, yet loses their very soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? And when your soul is lost, it's the worst kind of lostness. You see, the Bible says that even if you had all the money in the world, all of it, not just in America, but in China or India, you amass all of the trillions of dollars, God is saying that doesn't stand a chance against the value of your soul. That's how valuable your soul is to heaven. You know why? Because when God created you, He created us in His image. Well, what's His image? Well, this is not His image here. His image is that quality of a God-likeness that He breathed into us. You know what that is? That's that eternal quality. Did you know that each of us has a soul that will live in eternity? The rest of us will die. The physical body ages out and you die. Body gets old, decrepit, and then they bury you 6 feet under. Unless you're Portuguese. And they bury you 20 feet under. The reason is because down deep, Portuguese are nice people. Okay, get back to the Bible. But that soul part of you lives forever. That's not a question. The question is, where will you live forever? You see, there are two places, heaven or hell. And you must make a choice. You say, wait a minute. Why would God send people to hell? Good news, He doesn't. What? Yeah, you see, Matthew 25 says God made hell for the devil and his demons. What would He make for people? Heaven. You have to visit John 14 for that answer. Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it weren't so, I wouldn't tell you. But I go now to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you will be with me always. So God says there's two locations. You choose. Well, what if I choose neither? You made a choice. You get the default. You must make a choice. It's kind of like the lady, flight attendant on a budget airlines walking down the aisle and said to a gentleman, would you like some lunch? He said, well, what are my choices? She said, yes or no. We only have two choices. It's yes or no. And then you have the other. You see, God allows us to have choice. To me, that's a sacred gift, isn't it? Because if you had no choice, we'd be robots, and God doesn't want to make robots. God loves us so much, and He's a gentleman, that He doesn't force choices on you and me. He offers it to us, and we get to choose because it tells Him our heart. And He wants our hearts. So listen carefully. God gives us the sacred gift of the prerogative of choice. But what He doesn't give us is the privilege to dictate a different consequence that those choices incur. He gives us the sacred gift of the prerogative of choice, but what He doesn't give us is the privilege to change the consequences of those choices. They're set. But we must make the choice. And if you've never made that choice, I want to give you that opportunity today to say yes to Jesus Christ. He's waiting and He's passing this way. Zacchaeus has to make a choice. And what he doesn't know is his life is about to change forever. Jesus gives him that choice, and he makes it.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Welcome Home, a message given on Easter Sunday by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha. Now you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with a click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.